This is the word of the Lord from Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And skipping down to verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greeting to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt throughout deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Thank you, Vicki. It's a big passage of scripture, isn't it? We're going to just skim through it this morning, taking a look at it. I'm glad that Randy thought of turning on the air conditioning this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you. We praise you, God, for all your goodness, all your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Son and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and I would encourage you to take the Bible that's there in front of you because we're going to be looking at several things here. I want to point out several things to you this morning that to me are very, very important. In the fourth chapter, Paul begins and he says this. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. He says, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I have been sharing with you key words of Scripture that I believe every one of us should know and understand. Important words. In fact, they are doctrines of Scripture that we need to understand. I shared with you the doctrine of the justification by faith. We are saved by Jesus Christ. We are justified by Jesus Christ. We have a right standing with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Scripture says he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you know that righteousness is not our gift to God, but it's God's gift to us? Amen? Praise God. Also, I shared with you regeneration or being born again or being a new creation in Christ. When you are born again, you are a new creation. Scripture says, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I shared with you about adoption, being adopted into God's family. That is, we enjoy belonging to God. We are his children. We are adopted into his family. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are placed in the family as adult children with all the benefits that come with that. Scripture says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Praise God. I shared with you about the wrath and the propitiation of God. It was mentioned this morning in the time of prayer that God's wrath was appeased. God poured out his wrath, the total and complete wrath. And we can't even begin to imagine that. What was due to us, it was poured out on Jesus Christ in his death, crucifixion, and suffering. We can't even begin to imagine that. But God's wrath was appeased by that, and Jesus Christ became our substitute. Praise God, because that should have been me. But it was Jesus Christ, and now I'm part of that family that belongs to God. Now, all of these things that I've been sharing here with you, they happen instantaneously and simultaneously. They happen the moment that you're born again, the moment you are regenerated. You are forgiven of your sins. Praise God. You are adopted into God's family. And so all of these things here, they come instantaneously and they are simultaneously. The thing is each one does something different. And when you begin looking at them, you begin to realize that each one of these things is something a little bit different than the other one. But yet they happen all at the same time. In addition, we need to understand that these are one-time events that happen in your life. They don't happen. There's not a time that they happen over and over and over again. It's only once that it happens in your life. To live by grace is to solely live by the merit of Jesus Christ, solely by him. My entire relationship with God is in my union with Jesus. They are mine because of God's grace. They are mine because of the love of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. I bring nothing of worth into this relationship with God. Even my good works, even my righteousness, the Bible says, is nothing more than filthy rags before the Lord. You know why? We can't really grasp. We cannot grasp the perfectness and the holiness of God. There's no way that our minds can really wrap around that. And so when we try to bring our own goodness, all of a sudden, our mind deceives us. We begin to see that our mind is corrupt. You come before God, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I can't even stand before him. I have corrupt thinking. I have corrupt attitudes. I have corrupt speech. I have corrupt actions. And so my whole life is corrupt before God. And so we can't really understand his holiness. But that's the only way. We have to get in by the holiness of Jesus Christ and him alone. I bring nothing into this relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning I want to speak on another thing that happens in your life, and that is sanctification. And that's what Paul is speaking about here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, about sanctification. Wow, that's a big word, isn't it? How many of you heard a sermon on sanctification? I mean, where sanctification is put out to you. Lately? Not too much. You don't hear too much about sanctification. Yet, it's one of the greatest things that happens in the believer's life. Again, let me say that all of these, in fact, I appreciate what Ginger's doing downstairs, because all of these doctrines, we must have a clear understanding of what they are, what they do, and how they apply to your life. If you do not have that clear understanding, you're going to begin doing things that are not really Christian. You're going to begin setting up a do's and don'ts list for yourself, because you think that's Christian, so you set up these lists. There's human morality out there as well. There are people that I remember when I was first saved, you know, they acted like Christians, they sounded like Christians, you know, they behaved like Christians, they had good moral aspects. And, you know, as a new Christian, you're excited about wanting to know other Christians. So you'd ask them, "Are you a Christian?" "No, I'm not." So even human morality and developing any kind of legalism system. And by the way, I'll tell you this. When I first became a Christian, I was very legalistic in my approach to God. I thought, I have to do this. You can't do this and you can't do that. Not only for myself, I applied that to my family. And anyone else, I say, you can't do this, you can't do that. How many of you are there with me? It's because I did not have a clear understanding of what sanctification was. And that's why we need to have that understanding. You need to be clear in what you're doing, why you're doing it. And if you're not clear on it, you're going to begin to move into legalism and human morality that has nothing at all to do with Christianity at all. In fact, you begin to realize that those that have human morality, they hate God just as much as any hardened sinner. And so we need to have that clear understanding. To be clear, then, sanctification begins to give us the victory. And when you begin to understand it, it gives you the victory that you want in your Christian life. By victory, I mean this. I'm using the Apostle Paul's term, okay? Not the worldly term out here. The Apostle Paul said, "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." He said, "We are triumphant in all things through Christ Jesus." Praise God. It's too hot in here to dance today. But I'll do it anyway. Praise God. So we begin to see that sanctification, like all these other things, is also a gift from God to us. It's not our gift to God. It's God's gift to us, sanctification. Scripture speaks about a holiness that is already ours in Jesus Christ. When you are born again, you are sanctified instantaneously, immediately. You are set apart for God's glory and for God's kingdom. Then Scripture also speaks of a holiness in which we grow more and more and more like Jesus Christ. So it's talking about an instantaneous sanctification as well as a progressive sanctification that we have in the Lord. The first one is perfect and complete and is ours the moment we believe in Christ. The second one is progressive and incomplete as long as we are in this life. You're going to be progressing to become more and more like Jesus Christ. In the fourth chapter here, verse 1, it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." And again, follow me, because I'm going to point out some words here to you that are very, very important in this chapter. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy." That word "worthy" there is a word of weight. Like you have a scale, the weight on one side must equal the weight on the other side. And he says, walk worthy. And so your doctrine must be lived out in your practicality, in your activities. In other words, your doctrine must equal what you do, how you live your life. Are you with me? And you, how you live your life must equal your doctrine. If you are not living what you believe, then you really don't believe it. And so this is what Paul is saying. He is saying, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. Now, what I want you to get here is Paul didn't write in chapters and verses. It was a continual thing. And so he, first of all, deals with us with doctrine. In fact, all of his books, almost, you find him dealing with doctrine first. In Romans, he deals in the first 11 chapters. Paul is emphasizing doctrine to us. And then the 12th chapter, he begins to tell us how to apply that doctrine to our lives. In fact, that 12th chapter says, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But the first 11 chapters, he dealt with doctrine. Galatians is the same way. In Galatians, you'll find that he says, in the first four chapters, it's all about doctrine. And then 5 and 6 is about application, where he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then a little later, he said, don't let your liberty become an occasion for the flesh. So he deals with doctrine. And he's doing the same thing here in Ephesians. The first three chapters, he deals with doctrine. Believers are called, and they are chosen. They are sealed. They are blessed by God. They are adopted. Their sins have been forgiven. They've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They have an inheritance. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that dwells within you. These are all the doctrines that Paul is pointing out in those first three chapters. And he says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Man, that's fantastic. That's great. He goes on to say that we are no longer strangers and aliens to the covenants of God. He goes on to say that he wants us to know the depth, the height, the width, and the length of God's love. Praise God. And you know how he ends that? He comes to the place, these great truths that he just announced to us. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. I want you to notice, he says, the power that works within us. What is that power? The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, he told us in chapter 1. That power, and then he goes on to say, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. So not only to the Ephesians, but to all generations, you and me as well. Amen? And then says, forever and ever, amen. And then immediately he goes into, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. He points us right back to the very first chapter again. How you were called. You were chosen. You were elected. He says, walk worthy of that calling. Man, praise God. Doctrine must come first, and you must have a clear understanding. And that's what I believe that Ginger's sharing with us downstairs. A clear understanding of what the doctrine is, because if you do not understand it, you will not be able to live the Christian life in the victory that Christ has purchased for you. Well, I'll say amen. I'll say amen. So, what we need to do here, in those first three chapters, then Paul is telling us what the doctrine is, And then he tells us that we are to walk worthy of it. And then he says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, of bond and peace. And then Paul can't help himself. Paul's a theologian. Paul's a doctrinal man. And so he, once again, he ends that, and then he jumps back into doctrine again, where he says, and he says that there is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he jumps right back into doctrine again, telling us who we are and what we have. We are a unity. We are in union with Christ. One Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. Amen. Praise God. And then he goes on to say that the Lord who ascended on high, he also gave gifts unto men of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the maturing or equipping of the saints that they may do the work of ministry. And then he goes on to say that, why? Why did he give those? So that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes along. You have a clear understanding of what the scriptures are saying. Paul continually emphasizes this in here, that we have that clear understanding, because then we can begin to walk worthy of the calling where we have been called. Praise God. Justification by faith, being born again, adoption, these are all one-time events. But sanctification is three. Instantaneous, the moment you're born again, you are instantly holy as far as God is concerned because of Jesus Christ. Second, you have a progressive, that is, that the Holy Spirit working in your life. See, the first one, Jesus accomplished. The second one is the Holy Spirit working in your life to conform you more and more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. And then there's a third one, and that is complete sanctification. And I'm not talking about in this life. I'm talking about you'll be fully complete when you go home to be with the Lord in glory. John said, behold, the love of God, as it does not yet appear, but we are his children. But when he appears, or when he is revealed, we shall see him as he is. Amen? Amen? So we're talking about sanctification, holiness. Sanctification has to do with setting something apart. God sets apart for his purpose and for his glory. It can be a person, a place, or thing for his purpose. God sanctified the seventh day as a holy day, or as a day of rest, I should say. In Exodus, he sanctified a place of worship, set apart for his glory, for his kingdom. The priests and Levites were sanctified unto the Lord. The utensils in the tabernacle were sanctified unto the Lord. They were holy because of the Lord. The nation of Israel was sanctified unto the Lord. And similarly, when we are born again, we are sanctified. We are set apart for God and his divine purpose. That's instantaneously. But then the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life and in my life to conform us more and more into his image. I have a lot of scriptures here, but I'm not going to go into it. It's hot. And Randy, I don't know if this is your fan or what. No? I was going to say, we need a bigger one. What happens when you're born again, God puts a new spirit and a new heart within you. A spirit that loves righteousness and hates sin. He puts his spirit within us and gives us a desire to obey him out of a gratitude of love, because we love him. We no longer have a hatred towards God. We no longer have a hatred towards his commandments, but we see his commandments and we want to obey them. Oftentimes we don't. I'll be the first one to admit it. There are often times that I disobey the Lord. There's something, let me bring out something else here in this passage. Go down to verse 17, and I'm not going to go through all of this. She read it. I think it's very well self-explanatory. But in verse 17, Paul picks up again after that short stint of doctrine. Again, he picks up what he started in verse 1. And he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them." I want you to notice having their minds alienated. They have ignorance. They're blind. He says, "Who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness," but "you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Then he goes on to say, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Okay? "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." I want to say this. Paul is saying, get your thinking straight. The old man died, if you read Romans chapter 6. The old man died with Jesus Christ and he was buried with Jesus Christ. He's gone. He's done away with. Why are we still carrying his baggage? Why are we still carrying around his suitcases? He's gone. He's dead. That old man, he's the Adamic nature, the nature that was in Adam. But when Jesus Christ died, he died. When Jesus Christ was buried, he was buried. Amen. And Paul is saying, get your thinking straight. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's already happened. Why are we carrying his baggage? Oh, we carry the baggage of unforgiveness. We carry the baggage of envy, of jealousy, of hatred, of anger, fornication, adultery, lying, stealing. Why are we still carrying around that baggage? Paul says, get your head on right. Renew your mind in the spirit, or renew the spirit of your mind. Get that straight. Put off the old man and put on the new man. When Christ was resurrected, there was a new person, a new person. You are that new person. Start living. Walk worthy of your calling. Start living that way. Are you with me? Amen. And this is what Paul is saying continually. He said, not in the ignorance like the Gentiles. Not in their blindsidedness. They can't see, they can't hear, their mind doesn't grasp that. But you as a believer should understand that. That's why we need to have clear understanding of doctrine. When this became to me, and I began to realize, that old man is dead. Romans chapter 6. Why am I still carrying around his baggage? And so we begin to renew our thinking. We begin to renew our mind in the Lord. I'm not going to go through all of that because, like I said, it's all self-explanatory. But look at chapter 5. Again, remember, there's no breaks here. Paul has not given us chapter and verses. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk If you were to take a concordance and see how many times Paul says in the book of Ephesians that you need to walk, he means you need to live your life this way. So he says, therefore, be imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting but for the saints. He's calling you saints, by the way. I don't know if I'm St. Tom, St. Thomas, okay? And I grew up in a Roman Catholicism. You know, you had to be canonized in order to be a saint. And when I got into Scripture and began to realize that God calls me a saint already, I'm a saint, folks. So are you. So he says, as fitting for saints. Verse 5, he says, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words. In other words, he's talking about doctrine. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul is simply saying, God's will for you, God's will for me is holiness. That we are being conformed into the very image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Sanctification doesn't stop with salvation. It's progressive, continuing on in your life until you go home to be with Jesus. The believer in Jesus Christ is making choices every day, and that's what Paul is talking about here. Choices that we make. You make choices in what you look at. You make choices on what films you see. You make choices on the magazines you read. You make choices on the web. Choices as to what you read. Choices in what you listen to. Choices in what you say. Choices in what you do. Choices in whom you hang around with. You are making choices every day. Now there are things, and by the way, all sanctification, it's by the power of God working in us through the Holy Spirit. I don't do anything. The Holy Spirit, Let me say this. The Holy Spirit will put into your mind that we need to obey the Word of God. Okay? But the Holy Spirit's not going to obey God for you. Who do you think has to do that? You. You have to obey. The Holy Spirit puts it within you. And by the way, it's all personal. Do you know that he deals with each and every one of us on a personal basis? I began to realize this. Like I say, when I was first saved, man, I became very legalistic. Well, you can't do that. And don't do that. And do this. And, you know, became very legalistic in my approach to my relationship with God. He deals with each one of us individually. He begins to deal with you, and what he deals with you, brother, is not how he's dealing with me. It's totally something different because we are all individuals. Do we grasp that? I remember now, there's nothing in Scripture that says you should not smoke. Okay? I just thought, well, you know what? I'm a believer now, and Christians should not smoke. Okay? Well, Christians should not drink. Okay. But then I began to realize that God was working on me and not everybody else. He's saying, Tom, get rid of that cigarette. I remember after just being born again. We'd come out of the church building, and I'd be on the steps, and I'd light up my cigarette. My wife would say, "Can't you do that until we get away from here?" Well, but it wasn't until God began to deal with me. Not with Steve, not with anyone else, with me. He deals with us individually, personally. And what he's doing in my life is not necessarily what he's doing in Randy's life. Correct?
Amen.
And that's where we have to listen to the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is telling us. There's one final passage of Scripture. Let me share this with you over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter is saying the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. The Apostle Peter writes and he says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Remember, it's right here where it's got to take place. This is the battleground. This is where you're making decisions. This is where you're going to begin to apply the Word of God is right here. Like I said earlier, I tell you, I can bring my righteousness before God, but all of a sudden, my mind deceives me, and I see that my mind is corrupt. So here's what's got to take place. That's why we're renewing our mind. And so Peter says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children," notice that word obedient, "not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." God's will for you is holiness. Holiness. Praise God. The very idea of being sanctified where there is no holiness doesn't work. Moses came down from the mountain, remember? And his face was shown. I mean, he had been with God. The glory of God was shining in him. Moses didn't even know it. And I'll say this, that you may not see the holiness that God is doing in your life through the Holy Spirit. You may not see it, but others will. They'll begin to see that. Jesus said, "By their fruits you shall know them." Jesus also said, "He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit." Finally, let me say that sanctification is something that is going to be absolutely necessary on the day of judgment. The writer of the book of Hebrews, he says, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." It's not so much important what you profess. Jesus said there are people that are going to say, "Did we not do this? Did we not do that? Didn't we do this in your name?" And he said, "I never knew you. Depart from me." It's not so much what we profess as about what we do. Do we believe, do we have doctrine, I should say, that we believe and apply to our lives? We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit. No, let me say this. We need to desperately depend upon the Holy Spirit. Not just depend. I need to desperately depend upon him to lead and guide me. Worship where you hear the Word of God. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth," or through God's truth. This is God's truth. Not only read the word, pray, do what you need to do. "As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after you, O Lord." It's Someone has said, if all you have is the Bible, you dry up. If all you have is the Spirit of God, you blow up. But if you have both the Word and the Spirit, you grow up. And that's what God's will is for us, to grow. The ultimate goal then is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Pastor Bill has been talking about the purpose of Israel in the Old Testament through the book of Psalms. He says that their purpose was to worship and witness. And then he brought out that it's the same thing for the church today, that we are to worship and witness. Can I say this, that there's no better way for you to worship and witness than to walk worthy of your calling? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you. I praise you, God, for your love and your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that it's you, through your Holy Spirit, working in us, conforming us more and more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you the praise, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand with us for this last song.